Nantakota Vaishnavinda Ki, Iskand Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Dranthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Klas Ki, Nitai Gora Premahanda Hari, Glorious the Assembled Devotees, Glorious the Assembled Devotees, Glorious the Assembled Devotees, Glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 30, text number 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Gati smita. Gati smita prekshana pashana adeshu.
Gati smita prekshana pashana
adeshu. Gati smita prekshana basana adeshu.
Gati smita prekshana pashana adeshu.
Priya priyasya pratiruda murtayaha.
Priya priyasya pratiruda murtayaha.
Priya priyasya pratiruda murtaya.
Priya priyasya pratiruda murtaya.
Savaham tvitya balastat atmika.
Savaham tvitya
Savaham tvitya bilasatarapika.
Savaham tvitya
bilasatarapika. Na vedishu krishna vihara vibrahmaha.
Na
Krishna Vihara Vibharama.
Jai Jishu Krishna Vihara Vibharama.
Gati Smita Prikshana Basanadi Su.
Gati Smita Prikshana Basanadi Su.
Priya Priyasya Pratirudha Murtayaha.
Priya Priyasya Pratirudha Murtayaha.
Savaham Tvitya Bilasatad Atmika.
Savaham Tvitya Bilasatad
Atmika. Gavidishu Krishna Vihara Vibrahma.
Gavidishu Krishna Vihara Vibrahma.
Smitya Pikshana Pasan Adishu.
Gati Smitya Pikshana Pasan Adishu.
Priya Priyasya Prati Rudha Murtayaha.
Priya Priyasya Prati Rudha Murtayaha.
Asat Aham Tve Iti Abhalasthat Atmika.
Asat Aham Tve Iti Abhalasthat Atmika.
Yavet Hisu Krishna Viraha. Vibramaha
Gatismita
Prekshana Vasanadishu.
Gatismita Prekshana Vasanadishu.
Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtayaha.
Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtayaha.
Asapaham Tvitya Balastad Atmika.
Asapaham Tvitya Balastad Atmika.
Krishna Vihara Vibramaha.
Yadeshu Krishna Vihara Vibramaha.
Gati Smita
Krishna Vashanadishu. Gati Smita Krishna
Vashanadishu. Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtayaha.
Priya Priyasya Pratiruda Murtayaha.
Asavaham Mitya Palas Tadatmika.
Asavaham Vaiti Abhas Tadatmika.
Vaishnavis.
Gati smita prikshana vasanadishu.
Priya priyasya pratirudha murtayaha.
Asavaham
tvaiti palastadatmika.
Asavaham tvaiti palastadatmika.
Maya vadisu Krishna vihara vibrama.
Gati, his movements, Smita, smiling, Prekshana, beholding, Basna, talking, Adishu, and so on, Priya, the dear gopis, Priyasya, of their beloved, Pratirudha, fully absorbed, Murtaya, their bodies, Eshu, he, Aham, I, too, actually, Iti, speaking thus, Abala, the women, Tat Atmika, identifying with him. Nyavin Navedishu, they announced Krishna Vihara, caused by the pastimes of Krishna. Vibrahma, whose intoxication. There's no more light here. Translation. Because the beloved gopis were, thank you. Because the beloved gopis were absorbed in faults of their beloved Krishna, their bodies imitated his ways of moving and smiling, his way of beholding them, his speech, and his other distinctive features. Deeply immersed in thinking of him and maddened by remembering his pastimes, they declared to one another, "I am Krishna." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Spontaneously, the gopis began moving like Krishna. They smiled as he would smile, glanced boldly as he would, and spoke as he would. The gopis were completely absorbed in the existence of Krishna and mad with love at their sudden separation from him, and thus their dedication to him attained absolute perfection. So I'm going to read a few more of these verses, since most of them don't have very long purports. There's also not much that I can speak about, but we can hear these ecstatic discussions between the gopis. Text 4. Singing loudly of Krishna, they searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest like a band of mad women. They even asked the trees about him. Who, as the super soul, is present inside and outside of all created things, just like the sky. Report. Lost in the madness of love for Krishna, the gopis inquired about him from even the trees in Vrindavan. Of course, there is no actual separation from Lord Krishna, since he is the all-pervading Supersoul. Text 5. The gopis said, "O Ashvata tree, O Palaksha, O Nyabrodha, have you seen Krishna? That son of Nandan Maharaj has gone away after stealing our minds with his loving smiles and glances." Text 6. O Kurubaka tree, O Ashok, O Naga, Punaga and Kampaka, has Balaram's younger brother, whose smile removes the audacity of all proud women, passed this way? Purport. As soon as the gopis saw that a particular tree would not answer them, they impatiently left it and rushed off to another to make further inquiries. Text 7. O most kind Tulasi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear, have you seen that infallible one walk by, wearing you and encircled by swarms of bees? Purport. The Acharyas explained here that the word charana is a term of respect, as in the expression evam vedanta charya charanaha. The bees humming around the garland worn by Sri Govinda were attracted by the fragrance of the tulasi manjaris offered to him. The gopis felt that the trees had not replied because they were male, but that Tulasi, being female, would sympathize with their plight. Text 8. O Malati, O Malika, O Jati, O Yutika, has Madhava gone by here, giving you pleasure with the touch of his hand? Purport. When even Tulasi herself did not answer the gopis, they approached the fragrant jasmine flowers. The gopis, seeing that the jasmine vines humbly bowed down, assumed that these plants must have seen Lord Krishna and were therefore showing humility in their ecstasy. Text 9. O Achyuta, O Priyala, O Panasa, Asana and Pavidara, O Jambu, O Arka, O Bilva, O Bakula, O Amra, O Kadamba and Nibba, and all you other plants and trees living by the banks of Yajumuna, who have dedicated your very existence to the welfare of others. We gopis have lost our minds, so please tell us where Krishna has gone. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Achyuta is a mango creeper, whereas the Amra is a mango tree. He goes on to explain that the Nibba, though not a very prominent tree, bears large flowers, and that the gopis' desperation to find Krishna is clearly shown by the fact that they approach the insignificant arka plant. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the following information about Vrindavan's trees. The Nibba is the dust Kadamba, and it has large flowers. The Kadamba proper has smaller flowers and a very pleasant fragrance. The Kavidara is a particular kind of Kanchanara mountain oboni tree. Even though the Akara plant is very insignificant, it always grows near Lord Gopishvara, the Shiva deity in Vrindavan forest, because it is dear to him. And I will just do one more here, one more text number 10. Oh, Mother Earth, what austerities did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you such great joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? You appear very beautiful in this condition. Was it during the Lord's current appearance that you acquired this ecstatic symptom, or was it perhaps much earlier when he stepped upon you in his form of the dwarf Vamana Dev, or even earlier when he embraced you in the form of the boar Varaha Dev? Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains the faults of the gopis as follows. Perhaps the trees and the plants mentioned in the previous verses did not hear our question because they were in trance meditating on Lord Vishnu. Or perhaps since they were not well used, or perhaps since they will not tell us where Krishna has gone, they are hard-hearted even though they live in a holy place. Anyway, what is the use of unnecessarily criticizing the residents of the holy place? We cannot tell if they really know where Krishna has gone. So let us find someone who definitely knows where he is. Thus the gopis concluded that since Lord Krishna had to be somewhere on the earth itself must know his whereabouts. Then the gopis thought, since Krishna always walks on the earth, she is never separated from him, and thus cannot understand how much his parents, girlfriends, servants suffer his absence. Let us ask her what austerity she has performed to gain the great fortune of being constantly touched by the feet of Lord Keshava. So that was text 10 for the ones who are giving the class tomorrow. Next text is text 11. Om Agyatam Inandasya Dinandina Savataya Chaksura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruvi Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadavayam Vidati Svavadantikam Vanchakalpatyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vailacha Patitananam Bhagavayo Vaishnavayo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda So these pastimes of the gopis in separation with Krishna. We can see from these particular verses that the separation is quite intense, and so much so that they have lost themselves to the extent that they are beginning now to talk to the different plants and creepers and trees and even Mother Earth herself. So these are ecstatic symptoms of separation from Krishna, something that perhaps we cannot understand, as they are very exalted levels of devotion. But at least from these verses we can get inspiration as to our own particular goal. Of course, we don't feel in any way that we can exceed to the level of the gopis, but at least we should follow in their footsteps in that to be fully absorbed somehow in Krishna and his pastimes and his names and his form, so that gradually anything of this world becomes completely insignificant in comparison. This is a level which perhaps will take many, many years for us, but it's a level which is attainable. At least this is how our acharyas, previous acharyas, Srila Prabhupada himself, has explained that to be 24 hours a day absorbed in Krishna, it's not impossible. Of course, in the Nectar of Devotion, it is explained that such a state, such absorption, can only be in the mood of hoping against hope. That has been defined as meaning that in one sense there is no hope for us because we're so fallen and insignificant. But at the same time, there is hope, because we have Lord Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna themselves can bestow their causeless mercy on us. So, let us at least serve in that mood of hoping against hope. Not that there is no hope, but hoping against hope. That, okay, I'm not qualified. I'm not very advanced, and I've been committing so many sinful activities, but because I'm following the line of the predecessor acharyas, who are in the line of Lord Chaitanya right up to Lord Krishna, then there is some hope. So today is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. I've been asked to also speak a little bit regarding Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. I want to go back a little bit first to some of the statements that have been predicted regarding the spreading of the Hare Krishna movement. And the first prediction goes right back to Lord Krishna himself, where in the Krishna Vartna Purana, it explained that when Lord Krishna was about to leave this world, he was approached by Mother Ganga, and she requested him to allow her to return back home with him. She understood that the age of Kali was very quickly approaching, and that she wasn't very much inclined to staying and receiving all the sinful reactions to the persons who were bathing her waters. So she pleaded, "Please Krishna, allow me to return with you. I don't want to stay here." However, Krishna, he confided in her and encouraged her to stay, explaining that yes, the age of Kali is coming. However, there will be a personality that will appear into this world who will spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. He said at that time the devotees from all over the world will come on the banks of the Ganges at Mayapur and bathe in your waters. And because they are devotees, Sankirtan devotees, preachers, the culmination of all those devotees who are bathing in your waters will purify you. So this is, of course, not to be misunderstood, that we are going to Mayapur to bathe in the Ganges so that we can purify Mother Ganges. As individuals, we're very much dependent on her mercy, and it is one of the religious practices that we perform when going to Mayapur or any holy dham is to bathe in the holy rivers. But it meant, well, the meaning behind this was that the culmination of all the devotees, the meaning that nowadays we have 6,000 devotees attending the Mayapur festival. Many of those devotees are great preachers, exalted devotees, some are pure devotees. So meaning that the culmination of all these devotees that are taking bath in your waters, you will be purified from the sinful reaction of those who are sinful. He mentioned that time that for 10,000 years there will be one varna. One varna meaning Hari Bhakta. Everyone will be a Hari Bhakta, a devotee of Krishna. So 10,000 years will be safe for you. And he said after that, the Kali Yuga will then take hold. And at that time, you should then go underground and then wait for the next Satya Yuga to begin. So this was Krishna's instruction to Ganga Devi. Lord Chaitanya himself, he predicted that I want Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world. I will personally spread the holy name throughout India. My Senopati Bhakta will come. He will come and distribute Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. So that was his prediction. And there's also a prediction by Nityananda to Jiva Goswami, and his prediction, this is in the Navadvip Dham Mahatma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He narrates how Lord Nityananda spoke to Jiva Goswami about the future of Mayapur. Lord Nityananda prophesies, when our Lord Chaitanya disappears from this world, the Ganges will swell, almost cover Mayapur for 100 years. Then the water will recede and Mayapur will again be manifested. A very wonderful temple will be built in Mayapur, and from that temple, devotional service to Lord Chaitanya will spread all over the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also envisioned that temple, and he also saw that he envisioned that many devotees from all nations would assemble at Mayapur to sing the holy names of Lord Krishna, predicting that a great acharya would come and propagate the Sankirtan mission. In his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in a future time, devotees from America, Europe, Russia, China would join with their Indian godbrothers in Navadvip Dham and dance and chant Jai Satchinandana together. He also wrote that a great personality would appear to fulfill this prediction. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur personally appeared in the 19th century. It was during a critical time in the history where Lord Chaitanya's teachings were practically lost. Lord Chaitanya, as we know, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout India in a very profound manner. But this, from my understanding, only 200 years had passed. A few hundred years had passed since the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the teachings that he gave, which was to the teachings of the Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings, to chant the holy name, to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even at that time, it's mentioned that even to find a Chaitanya Charitamrita, to find just one book was very, very difficult to find. So it was almost impossible to find any books connected with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, therefore, Bhaktivinoda himself took it on himself to revive the teachings and the message of Lord Chaitanya. He also published and wrote the books of six Goswamis. He proved the importance and relevance of these teachings also in the modern world. It's pointed out that he published several books in English and sent them to the West. And one such book was the Lord Chaitanya's, how is it explained? The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada pointed out that the year that he sent that book to the West, he sent it to colleges and libraries. The year that he sent it was actually the year that Prabhupada was born. So that obviously has some relevant significance. I personally got a lot of inspiration from Bhaktivinoda Thakur being a grihastha when I was a grihastha. It was very inspirational to know that one of our acharyas was one of the prominent, most prominent acharya was a grihastha. And if you read his story of his life, it was very interesting to see how even though he had domestic duties meaning that he was married, he had 10 children. So I personally know what it's like to raise even one child, what to speak of 10 children. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, along with his wife, they raised these 10 children. One of course is Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, who became also the founder of the Gaudiya Math and the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. So just seeing how he took care of his domestic activities, his social activities were also quite extensive. He was a magistrate. I think it was in Jagannath Puri. Somewhere like that. He was a magistrate. However, because he was very dedicated to spiritual life too, whatever he did during the day, he was able to do it that much more easier, much more quicker than others. So it was remarked how Bhaktivinoda's day, his day's activities were he set priorities. He got up very early. He performed his spiritual duties first, then maybe a few domestic duties, and then social duties, and then because he did it so easily and swiftly, being a pure devotee, he was able to then return to his home and continue his writings and his poetry, etc., etc. So for me, as a grihastha, I remember reading that and getting a lot of inspiration from it, in the sense that, again, not that I wanted to try to imitate Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he demonstrated himself that as a grihastha, it was possible to be Krishna conscious, and not only Krishna conscious, Anuttama Adhikari, devotee. He didn't make distinctions between sannyasis and grihastas. Unfortunately, today in our society, that's going on a lot. We make distinctions. Oh, he's a sannyasi, or he's not a sannyasi, and he's a grihasta. Of course, it's not as much as it used to be. I remember back in 76, there was a whole fight between sannyasis and grihastas. The sannyasis used to preach to the brahmacharis, don't preach to, when you go out on the street, don't preach to women, because if you preach to women, they will become devotees. And if they become devotees, someone will have to marry them. You will have to marry them. So don't preach to women. This was the preaching that went on in those days. So needless to say, for the grihastas and especially for the women, they had to spend so many years on this kind of speculative conceptions of what's right and what's wrong. So needless to say, we made a lot of mistakes, and we suffered the consequences of those mistakes. You're very lucky today because you don't have to make the same mistakes as we made. We were the pioneers of all mistakes. You can learn from those mistakes and not make the same mistake. But even so, having said that, and still, you know, our society has still not reached to the level where we don't make distinctions between one devotee and another, or that one devotee is capable of being Krishna conscious and another is not capable, another ashram is not capable. From where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's realization, there was no distinction between grihastas, sannyasis, varnaprastas and brahmacharis. That was not the goal, he insisted, but the goal was to be Krishna conscious, and that could be done in any ashram. It wasn't necessary to be a sannyasi. The Mayavadis, that is their main line of preaching, that in order to be a qualified Mayavadi, in the true sense of the word, then you have to be a sannyasi. You cannot study Vedanta unless you're a sannyasi. So he can see that within the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he himself didn't make these kind of designations, but rather he pointed out that we were the servant of 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 the gopis who serve Krishna, and that it was actually a real position constitutionally. So the way he planned his day was very inspiring. I remember, because there's many grihastas who, they complain that, well, first of all, that they have to associate with so many non-devotees during the course of the day. They go to work and they have to associate with non-devotees. So this is one of the main complaints of grihastas, that I have to work. And where I work, there are many non-devotees. And if I'm associating with non-devotees every day, what about my Krishna consciousness? However, it's very clear, Srila Prabhupada has made it clear in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that actually, Krishna himself made it clear that no one should give up their duties. No one should give up sacrifice, no one should give up austerities, duties. All these should continue. But it should be done in a spirit of devotion to Krishna. So Prabhupada in his purport pointed out that someone may work in a factory, someone may work alongside non-devotees, someone may have to be there all day in that kind of environment. But he pointed out that if you set your priorities right and you do your spiritual activities first, but in our case, the emphasis is we chant 16 rounds. It's not so long. It doesn't take so long to chant 16 rounds. And the earlier you get up, the interesting thing is that mystically, it cannot be understood, but it almost seems that the earlier you get up, the time suddenly stands still. It's an amazing phenomenon. Whereas if you try to chant your rounds in the evening, it's the opposite. The time seems to race, and you're trying to catch up to the time factor. And every moment you're looking at your watch and thinking, well, I just chanted one round, but that took me half an hour. How come? It didn't make any sense. But this is... Well, is that a confirmation or a... Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to do was to rise early, as Srila Prabhupada himself did. Rise early and perform the spiritual activities first. Chant our 16 rounds, read Srimad Bhagavatam. If we can do a little bit of deity worship. Then we go to do our work, our domestic activities, social activities. And we'll find, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur proved, that they will be done that much more easier, much more effectively, and above all, the people around you will also be inspired by you. I can't remember, but I seem to have read some time back about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, but the other magistrates were very inspired by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's ability to be able to do things so easily and so swiftly in half of the time that they themselves would carry out their duties. So as I say, this was a source of inspiration as a grihastha, and I tried as much as possible to live my daily life on those principles. And of course, with good results, because personally myself, I'm going to schools, and in the school you're going to associate with non-devotee teachers and non-devotee children, and the interesting thing that I saw was that sometimes even teachers who were usually very passionate by nature, when they had one session or a couple of sessions with me, suddenly they would change their mood. And there was one specific teacher who told me at the end of the day, and she explained how, you know, she did everything so quickly, so passionately. Whatever she did, whether it's opening a book, she just did it with so much passion. And her teaching was with so much passion. And for the other teachers, that was their picture of her. Oh, the passionate teacher. Maybe they didn't use that word, but they identified her in a certain way. So this particular morning, after a couple of hours of being with me, she was in the class in the staff room, and she was just acting a little bit differently than usual. And the other teachers inquired, what's wrong with you today? Because everything she did was that much more with some peace, some with some proper clarity and thought. And it was observed by the other teacher, what's wrong with you today? She told me this after, she said, I don't know, maybe it was the Hindu priest, he was burning these incense sticks. Maybe it was that. And she went on to say, but I'm not sure if it may be something to do with that, but not just that. And she said, it's not what he said, but it was how he said it. And you know my class. My class is one of the worst classes in the school, but in his presence, they were very peaceful, they were attentive, and she started explaining like this. So she told me at the end of the day, she asked me, she said, what is it with you? And I said, well, what do you mean? Have I done anything wrong? No, absolutely not. And she said, actually, you have affected my children and you've personally affected me by your association or your presence. So what is the secret? So then I explained to her, well, it's nothing to do with me, but it's what I do every morning. And I explained that before coming to the school this morning, I chanted 16 rounds on these beads, the Hare Krishna mantra. And from my experience of doing this for the last 40 years, it gives me spiritual strength. It helps to keep my mind peaceful, my senses illuminated with knowledge and detachment, and therefore I'm able to do things during the day that much more easier than if I didn't practice this chanting. So this is just an example of how persons around us, if we actually stick to the principles and the teachings which Prabhupada has given to us, or the acharyas have given to us, we will have an influence even in the factories and wherever we are situated in our work. It was the same that happened to a friend of mine. Well, you may know him, Bhakti Neil. He comes here sometimes. He's a builder. And here he's even in overalls. You know, he has to wear overalls. So externally he doesn't... You wouldn't see him as a saint from the external dress that he has to put on, you know, for his work. But he often tells me that, you know, he has to go to someone's house to repair their house, and within a couple of days they start asking him questions. You know, okay, so you're a builder, what else do you do? and they're trying to get out of him what actually... In one case, one lady, she asked him, are you a Hare Krishna? So this is all we have to do. We have to just follow the previous acharyas and their example and not change anything. We tend to think that we can do something different today because it's a different time, age, whatever. We have so many more things to do or say. But actually there is no difference. The time factor may have changed. The culture of the places that we're living may have degraded more and more. But in essence, the teachings have the same effect now as they would many years in the past, and what to speak of years in the future. So we don't put any blame on the teachings or the activities that we're doing each day. The blame should be put on ourselves for not actually taking seriously to the degree that we should. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote many books and a lot of poetry, and besides that, many songs. I'd like to read a couple of these songs out because they indicate very clearly his mood of expression in spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jeev Jagal. Lord Gauranga is calling, wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? You have forgotten the way of devotional service and are lost in the world of birth and death. I have descended just to save you. Other than myself, you have no friend in this world. I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you are suffering. Take this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I fall at the lotus feet, having taken shelter of this Maha Mantra. This is my favorite. Very nice. Song. Where is it? Udila Arjuna Purapapaji. When the rising sun appears in the east, the jewel of the twice-born Lord Gaurasunda, awakened and taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside's towns and villages. Their mridangas sounded tatai tatai and jagas, large metal cartels that look like small cymbals. In that kirtan, played in time, Lord Gaurasunda's golden form slightly trembled in ecstatic love of God, and his footbells jingled. All the devotees chanted the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibration. They would announce to the still sleeping people, you spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yasoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This temporary life is full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen like the shining sun. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the names to be had in the 14 worlds. It has fulfilled, it has filled the soul of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, I won't go on any longer, but just to say that we're very much indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As he was the first to join East and West, so he was the first pioneer in the Western field of preaching. If it wasn't for him, we perhaps wouldn't be sitting here today. So let us at least show our gratitude to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for his efforts in bringing Krishna consciousness originally to the Western world. We can pray to him for his special favor on us, that he will kindly grant us favor. It is explained that when we have the merciful glance of the previous acharyas, then whatever we do in our own daily life as a devotee, whatever service we may do, then we'll have the power and force of these previous acharyas behind us. We don't feel personally ourselves that we can do anything relevant. But if we do it in the mood of assisting, a service of assisting the spiritual master and the previous acharyas, then in that mood, then whatever we say and do will have their special favor behind it as well. So I'll finish there. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day ki. Nitai Gaur Premananda.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
Thank you very much, dear Shanti Prabhu. Welcome to class. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Stepping in last minute. This is a nice class. Sorry also for asking to end a little bit early. We did announce this morning at Mangalarti that we were going to have a little bit of a program post the class this morning, just to honor and express our gratitude and appreciation to the devotees who went out during the Radhastami marathon, because the marathon finished the day before Radhastami, and then we read out the scores on Radhastami.